It's quite unusual, really, because we've got people around us that don't even know we're here. But it was originally 134 acres, so it's a good piece of land. It went right down Morfitt Road, along Bay Road, and then up Pine Avenue behind us. And it was a working farm. He had cattle and sheep, and it was a serious operation.
When you look at the parcel that it originally was, you're taking in Nova Gardens, Camden, the Emmanuel College area, and of course this area, Cummins, as well. It's hard to imagine now, with all the development that has been built over it, just what an amazing parcel of land it would have been. What were the kind of things that were on the original block that they were using as a part of getting that agricultural use out of it, and of course the orchards?
John Morfitt had been brought up as a young 20-year-old in Alexandria in Egypt, so he was very conscious when he came here of the sandy soil, Mediterranean climate, etc., etc. And if you go over by the tennis courts there, which were originally part of the land by the Camden Reserve, he's got a very big olive orchard there. You can see olive orchards out the trees out the back here. But as I say, it was quite a serious farm. He ran about 800 sheep, about 300 cattle, and he actually had 40 horses. So I don't know that it would all be on this land, although he did have the Sturt River running through, which would have helped with his water problems. But it seemed a lot to run on even on 134 acres in good conditions.
And you mentioned the Sturt River there. That's now a creek. So again, it's hard to picture that in that it probably was a lovely flowing river when he originally built the house here.
It was. In fact, one of his sons drowned in it, aged about 20, George. And when I first came here, I couldn't believe, because to me it's a concrete drain. They called it the Sturt River. But anyway, it did run through the place and flooded quite a lot, because I've seen letters written from him to the Glenelg Council, as it was then, saying, well, this is your water, come and fix it. And they said, no, it's yours, you fix it for us.
So, not much has changed, has it?
Still goes on.
The house itself has evolved as time's gone on as well. When was it originally built, and then what's happened to it after that?
The very first part of it here was 1842. He arrived here in 1838. He bought the house, the deed says 1840. He paid £81 for the 134 acres. Mind you, all the original lots were 134 acres. It was only later they broke them down to 80 and then for them. So he paid £81 for this. In 1842 he built this house. He moved in here with, I think, 3.5 children at that stage. So the first part of the house was 1842, and there's only been one addition to the house, a significant addition to the house, in 1854, when this portico we're standing under was put on, a very big room out the back, beautiful drawing room, because by then he was a fairly important man and he was entertaining. And then the servants' quarters. And what's unusual about the house is that five generations have lived here of Morfitt people until 1977, which makes it quite unique in that way. And it's also, with the servants' quarters and everything else, a master-servant relationship and a working farm. So I always say it's not a stately home, but it's an elegant working property. He was a real pusher and shover in everything that he did. He was on every committee known to mankind. He was behind everything that happened, the first savings bank, first insurance company, first horse race, first, you know, it goes on like that. But he was one of the first four people appointed into government, even while it was still run from England. And in 1857, when it got self-government, he went on, as his father-in-law, James Hurtle Fisher, did, being Speaker of the House and President of the Legislative Assembly. The first cricket match was played here, people don't realise. The first horse race was not at Morfittville, it was held at Theberton. First AMP show, I mean, you know, there was just nothing that he didn't have a go at.
From the five generations that have gone through in the late 70s, the house was then put up for sale. What happened to it then?
It was put up in 1977 by Hurtle. Each one sold a bit off. The major part that disappeared was in, I think it was 1954, when George Morfitt, the third one to live here, Sir John's grandson, he sold off the 42 acres, which was where Emmanuel College is today. And then Hurtle, the last one to live here, and he sold off the whole house. And Don Dunson heard about it and sent people out and said, well, he, what do you think? And they said, oh, yeah, we've got to grab this house. It's the oldest one in the area. It's architecturally interesting, working property, and the five generations in this master servant thing. So unique in that sense.
What is it used for these days?
It's owned by the government, but the West Torrens Council lease it from the government. And they use it as a function centre. It does weddings, very popular for weddings. The gardens are beautiful. The gardens, incidentally, are done by volunteers every Friday morning, and that's somebody we're always looking for, garden volunteers. And I'm a guide, so we're looking for them as well. But the gardens are beautiful and very popular for weddings. The house also does seminars, and it's a function centre as far as the West Torrens Council are concerned. And it's become lately very popular for funerals. So anything really that fits the bill.